Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Sadhu.
How you doing? Could I hear all about your practice? Everything. Tell me everything. Did you do any practice today, Lisa?
Yes.
Did you? And what happened?
It was interesting. Still working with anger. Still perceiving it. Starting to perceive abandonment, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like, will he pick me up tomorrow? Will he totally forget?
Well, if it wasn't him, it would be somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's what the perfection is based on. Why are you nodding? You don't know what I'm talking about. Do you?
I'm agreeing with the fact that it wasn't him, it would be somebody else.
Sorry?
I'm agreeing with the fact that if it wasn't him, it would be somebody else. And I still haven't quite let go of some of the events from yesterday.
No, because it's very important for you to hold on to evidence and keep your shields up. Because it feels too scary otherwise to just be open. Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't really, but that's the habit. And it's a really fine line, you know, between continuously trying to keep oneself safe and enjoy life. Unfortunately, we usually get exhausted in the effort, so we have to just let one of them go. Usually it's trying to keep ourselves safe, although some people get even more into that. But it isn't possible to keep yourself safe. The only thing that is possible is to like yourself, and that's about as safe as you can get. Because when you like yourself, you don't really care whether you're safe or not. Do you? When you're just really having a good time with yourself? That whole thing about trying to hold things and keep everything is not an issue. So that first gateway, that first gatekeeper is doing what? Yeah, always shoring up the ground, and there's this endless ocean washing it away, and he's always shoring it up. And how does that turn is if you just love the circumstance. Then there's nothing to shore up. So it's a very, very wonderful gift of this retreat that you could see how quickly the anger came up. Just with the casino, and then the next day you could see yourself do it in this room and then just take off with it, right? With no concern whatsoever about anyone else because your anger was more important. Do you remember when you came across the field? That totally overwhelmed everything, didn't it? No matter who was there or what was going on, it wasn't as important. Do you see that? So you can understand right away, you can say, oh, that's the mass murderer who lives in my heart, whose own sense of what is important overpowers the ability to see anything else. Then you can actually have a sense of kindness for that, because you know what suffering that is. It is, isn't it? It's like not being able to walk across grass and not even feel it. What if one lived in that all the time? You know? My God, that's hell, isn't it? To be just like that. And they're like, knowing it, you can see it, is a really big gift. It's a really big gift. Now you know that this anger, if you allow yourself to collect evidence, you're going to collect evidence until you can blow. And then you're going to blow with all that evidence to give you even more of a charge, right? And every time I catch myself collecting evidence, I think to myself, do I want to do this? And then usually I think, no. I mean, on occasion I think yes, but, you know, within 5 minutes, I'm usually at no. And then after I get to no, then I start saying, okay, how about if I think the opposite of that person? Or that event, or that circumstance. How about if I pretend it's my idea? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
It's just the same way where I said Mike was behind you and you could feel your energy shift, you know?
Right.
It's your mind. If you've learned that, you have a wonderful tool. If you don't allow yourself to sink into the story, you know, I mean, of course, we all will. But if when you catch yourself sinking, you say, is there another choice? Once in a while. Then you will find that you have just a little more sense of spaciousness in your life, a little more sense of the play that you love to do. You won't find yourself caught in those dilemmas that you sometimes get caught in. But even more important than that, then you'll begin to understand what is mind, which is to me really beautiful. So when one is doing the kasina and one finds it hard to let go of certain things,
right,
you have two choices. You can examine the feeling that you have when you think, you can think about them and examine the feeling you have with that. Is the feeling nice?
No.
So you really, really don't just let it build up and become more and more the victim of how you're being crucified by yourself. Like, really look directly at it, decide whether you're having a good time yet. So once you, like, really understand, when I'm thinking this way, it's painful. Then you understand the cause and effect of that. So that you can feel yourself thinking that way, and you immediately say, no, wait a minute, I don't want to go here. There are views and there are emotions. Where there's a view, there's emotion. Where there's emotion, there's a view. If you are caught in views of thinking you aren't getting enough, thinking they're a bunch of bastards, or thinking you're not sure whether you're not getting enough or they're a bunch of bastards, but you're going to make up your mind later when nobody is bothering you, which is called greed, hatred, and delusion. If you're caught in those, it's going to not feel good. And you're not going to be able to see clearly, and you're not going to be able to see clearly what it is you want to do. It's not a problem changing those. You're only caught in them because you're unconscious of them. As soon as you realize you are not those states, then you have some power. If you can be sitting and feeling grungy, and then I say, image Mike behind you, and you can feel yourself picking right up and energy starting, you know, right there. This is the vehicle and these are the controls. And if you keep running backward into, you know, a telephone pole, maybe you should see whether you can change the gear to forward rather than reverse, you know. Like, this is how it works. Is this useful to you?
Yeah. This morning I was foggy, I guess. It sort of like I was talking, but it wasn't really sinking in. This afternoon it started to really sink.
Yeah, because it's a wonderful thing when you begin to perceive that. Then you actually realize there's something you can do. Not try to be who you aren't, but have a good time playing with who you are. It's like, you know, you can change your hairstyle. Okay, I'm being mad now. Okay, I think I won't be quite so mad. I'll find something to be happy about, the fact that I can be mad. You know, to just give yourself a little space. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? This is like just the basic controls for driving, you know, in an ordinary circumstance. Once you know that, then you can start wondering, well, what is self? Which is where Buddhism starts. What I'm talking to you about now is just kind of mental hygiene. Once you establish a certain level of mental hygiene, then you can start asking some really interesting questions, if you want. What is self? What is other? Who art thou? Where are we? Is there anything to do? Is there anything to not do? What is blue? What is yellow? Some really good questions. What is taste? What is smell? Some really good questions. But if you can't smell because you're, you know, playing an old movie, then that's why first you have to be able to differentiate those two things, right?
You mentioned before when doing the casino, if it's hard to let things go, you have two choices. And one you said was think about the feeling, is it nice, is it a nice feeling? Did you mention what the other
choice was? Change the view. Whatever the thought is attached, change it. It's a view. Because perception is not separate from emptiness, and emptiness is not separate from perception. Now, I had a long conversation with a friend today, and it was pointed out to me very clearly that there is a way of taking that as if one should not ever have any feelings. But that would only be half of it. That would be if perception was not separate from emptiness. But emptiness is also not separate from perception. So, like, it isn't that nothing matters. It's that no one thing is the matter. Everything matters. And so therefore, no one thing is the matter. And this is a mistake that's made by a lot of people once they do a little bit of work. They get the idea, well, everything is empty. And so it doesn't matter what you do. And so therefore it seems to me that it shouldn't matter to them what happens to them when they act that way. But I have not noticed that. I have noticed it mattering very much to them. When everybody didn't recognize their tolkunas. Because cause and effect remains true. Morality remains the basis. Kindliness is the most important law. You cannot begin to understand non-inherent existence unless you practice kindness. You can't begin to. Because until there's equal density, you know, until there's equal respect on both sides of your skin, there is no sense of totality. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Isn't it? I think so. Therefore, transcendence in its manifestation is always kind. Whether I understand the kindness or not is another question, because I have been perfectly careful, capable of not understanding many things in my existence. When I was younger, I didn't understand that it wasn't a good idea to desire to not desire. I thought that would solve all my problems, but, you know, damn. Didn't work.
Transcendence is always kind. If it's coming from a Buddha or an enlightened being, it's always kind. And I guess...
Transcendence is always kind, period.
Period.
Transcendence is transcendence, not from anybody.
Okay.
Or, in the traditional way of saying it, it is impossible for Buddha nature to be without compassion. And Buddha nature is in all beings. We all have our little flashes of enlightenment. Unfortunately, most of us aren't home when it happens. So we just like come in just as it's going out. We don't recognize ourselves or something. Our non-selves. So, who else is going to tell me something so I can just stop going blah, blah, blah here? You?
I've been doing quite a bit of work today with Chenrezig as well as the casino. Is that all right?
Yeah. I mean, you did it. What am I going to say?
Into a different, not because of Chenrezig, but with the casino, I've just moved into a different arena in my view of everything has become softer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is loving and warm and soft. And so there were times when the casino was there or wasn't there. I was there or wasn't there. And it was just soft.
So you did the Chenrezig, and what was happening with Chenrezig?
Well, that was earlier on this morning, just a small puja.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was my birthday, really.
Mm-hmm. Yep, la-di-da. I don't give rules. I do like to know what people are doing.
Oh, okay.
But, and I'm not partial to having somebody change their meditation during a retreat, ordinarily.
Okay.
Because some people, they don't know what they're changing it to, but certainly I mean, you and I mean, we've been around for as long as...
It's because of Vajrasattva, you see, because of the puja that I was allowed to attend in Boise, it had such an effect on me because I have been so isolated for so many years.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful one, beautiful thing to do.
Because it had Vajrasattva in it, and now I was retraining myself with Vajrasattva.
Right.
Because of the perception, it's just changed things.
Right, good.
And also, it's a pattern for, I've noticed, you know, for the years I've been with Rinpoche, just before my birthday, because of the birth, it's a bit tricky. So I could feel it opening up because of the day, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the trees, you know, I'm surrounded by some trees. I was thinking about the leaves on the tree, which is what I spoke to you about in Boise, the tree is empty as well, and then it would make, you know, because it's been a bit breezy, it would make a sound, so I was able to do the hearing sense. And then I started to explore the fact, well, because I was in an open plan office for so many years, if I could open them up, can I actually close them down? And thinking about all that aspect of it, because when we're absorbed, it's less. So I've just been
playing
with that today.
Excellent. Excellent. Ma'am?
It's been another thrilling day. It's been another thrilling day.
A thrilling day? You've had lots of visitors again?
Lots of visitors.
Oh, who came?
But it was all people who were actually here.
Oh, my goodness.
And able to, because of the casino, being able to watch form and the emptiness and the form, I can let the vision move into the world that is here and move back out, and I was real not fixing or trying to make one to the other.
Wonderful.
And
did that feel good?
Well, it feels really blissful.
Mm-hmm.
And so the temptation would be to try and make it all.
Mm-hmm.
But
good.
Up, I guess.
Yeah.
And to, you know, realize that the result is maybe dare to see what is there and dare to hear the divine sound in what is I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And dare to smell this, what is there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and realizing the things that the smells I think I really like, don't do what I
assumed.
And I'm like walking by a tree and going, I must be a birch because my energy's in my feet again. You know, or just those smells linger.
Yeah.
I just wind up lingering in my body.
Yeah, they're quite wonderful, aren't they?
Really amazing.
Yeah.
Fisher grass is spelled with a C or a K.
It's the grass. It's called sometimes sword grass. It's a very sharp blade. And it's the grass that the Buddha made a cushion out of in order to sit on after he gave up asceticism and he awakened. He made this cushion out of kusha grass.
It's not, I didn't like any of the smells.
Yeah.
Mentally
at
all.
Yeah.
I hate type, you know?
Yeah.
But
in the body, they're very, very interesting, aren't they?
This clarisage just does this clearing of
the... Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I feel it, too.
And in the... Cross. Just the very back of the throat.
Uh-huh.
Into
the neck. Yeah. Wonderful for the neck.
Yeah, very nice for the neck.
Yeah.
So, anyway, blah, blah, blah. But it's just been an amazing thing to see the stories that I create and know they're not true, and feel all of the stories that I create, because I've had all those experiences, and know that everyone's having all those experiences all the time, and all of the beings are having all those experiences, and it's all okay.
Yeah.
It's just really fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been amazing.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure. Did you have a good swim? All right. Have any questions for me? We talked a lot today. Just leave it at that. Yeah, it's very nice to actually accept something in one's body. It's like we're talking about the scent or anything, isn't it? It's like to actually, like, yes, I'm glad the expert is so full of opinions, but it's nice to feel something sometime. That expert is just tireless, isn't it? Just tireless. I tried sending her to Florida. Didn't work. I tried all kinds of things. NASA would like you to go to the moon. Finally, I just say, that's nice, thank you, and now I'll feel it. Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that. And you, ma'am? We had a good talk, too, didn't we?
Yeah.
Is there any questions or?
I did a little of the hearing a couple times today, and I noticed that I have a pain in my right ear, my deep inner ear, and thoughts of lots of earaches as a child. But anyway, there it was. That's where it went, and this ear hears much more sensitively than the left ear.
Huh.
And I turned over on my stomach, and it seemed as though both ears went dull.
Wow.
It seemed that
I'll have to try that. I never thought of lying down and hearing.
I have no idea why it occurred.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try that. I'll try that.
What I'm most happy about, really, really happy, yesterday I hit the wall of recognizing my suffering, the gathering the evidence, pinning on things, and going off, and I really had an experiential kind of awareness of that suffering, kind of like where I went with the stories, that point where I hit the wall where I did not want to make one more story. I had it. And so today I'm really happy because I'm very tired of gathering evidence, and I think I feel like I recognize it when I see it.
You don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have tools. I'm happy. I have tools.
Yeah. Then what? Right? Right. Yeah. But basically, when all three types, I mean, this is a basic Buddhist tradition, all three types have their positive side as well. And you're also using your positive side. But when you're caught in the negative side, it's because you're self-referencing. Because everything is reference to oneself. Isn't that true? When you try to figure out your position with everything, Yeah, self. And when you're not self-referencing, then hate type becomes this ability to see, to perceive, to pick up nuances or see points, or, you know, has a clarity to it. Because you know what hate does is it sticks to the fucking fly.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Whole windshield, one fly. What does the hate type do? Goes for that fly. So it goes to the point. Right? So that power is still there, but you can switch the point.
Yeah, and I love it.
And that's all you have to do. As soon as you switch the point, you've broken the hatred.
Yeah.
And then the energy is free to use in any direction you want. You still got the same energy, but now it's somebody behind you that you really love or whatever. You know? Yeah.
Well, I see the direct correlation between gathering the evidence
yep.
and getting the hate, and I just don't want the hate.
And you can see the intellect. You can see, watch me. You can see the intellect that collects the evidence, can't you? What did I say?
For me, it's usually the past.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Okay. It's the intellect going into the past
right.
and selecting some things and throwing other things away, right?
Exactly.
This and this and this and this.
Yes.
That's intellect.
Yes.
It's a beautiful tool, but you've got to have it used for something that isn't going to cause you suffering. Because if you use it for clarity or for love, it's that same tool will just collect all the little things that create joy. It can be used for anything, negative or positive. So, beautiful, you know. So the beauty of hate type is the intellect. The beauty of greed type is the faith. Greed types are absolutely sure if they have a bite of everything, they're not going to be poisoned. So they'll try anything. Anything but go in. Hate types are sure that out there is poisonous and they'll find the one thing that is. Anything but go out. In a way. Can you see that? You collect the evidence so that there's no point in going out. Yeah. The propensity to get to a point, to see the point, to clarity. There's a clarity. And unfortunately, like the Cheng Rezi meditation says, anger that grasps at duality, me and it, right? That's the pain. Greed type is, I want to become something else. Hate type is, I'm going to see all those bastards are trying to get me. I want to be separate from everything else. And I don't want to be me. I want to be something else. You know, greed type. So, you know, greed type, basically there is this quality of what you would call faith. You would never think that there's something wrong with it, you know. Oh, this is really great. Glug, glug. Oh, this is really great. Glug, glug, glug. And so how you have to stop greed from just going and going and going is put a fly in their drink. Or spit in it. Because that kind of greed, as you know, if you've been in that yourself, we've all been all three, that kind of greed is painful when you can't stop. That addiction is very painful, isn't it?
So would you say greed types are more prone to addiction?
Well, I think all of them are addictions. I think hatred gets very prone to, addicted to finding evidence, right? When you're doing that, don't you just never stop? You just shift very carefully through everything? Hmm? So there's an addictive quality to all of it, but greed types are really like driven to the next one. You know the story. I've told you this story almost every time I've come to Boise about the mother with the two kids. Do you remember this story? Every time I come to Boise, I tell you this story. So why should this be different? Okay, so she's got two kids. They're twins. They're boys. It's their birthday. She's Tibetan. She wants to give them suitable spiritual gifts. One's a greed type, one's a hate type. She goes to the Lama. He says, oh, it's very good. You give the hate type lots of pretty beautiful gifts, a whole bunch of them. Because the worst thing for a hate type is they freeze on something. Isn't it true? And they're frozen there. They can't move. So if you give them a whole bunch of absolutely superb gifts, you know, then they've got more than one choice, so they can't freeze. And the greed type, you know, you give them something that's really ugly. Because otherwise they'll just freak out on greed, right? And so she gets these gifts and she calls the kids down, but she has to leave the room. She can't do the presentation. She comes back and the greed type is what? Sitting in a corner, right? With this huge bag, what? Of horse shit. And he's going, I know there's a pony in here somewhere. And the hate type is sitting there in the corner with all these beautiful little perfectly wrapped gifts, like absolutely beautifully wrapped, going, so what's the trick? And there it is. You know, I mean, there isn't a better way to describe them, I don't think. They got it. How you doing?
Well, I had a little bit of a hard day in that I started thinking about going back home.
Oh, yeah.
And what I was going to, how I was going to do there.
Yeah, good. And have you figured it out? Have you got your schedule worked out?
Well, I'm starting on it.
Good. Because it's nice to get all that done. How far ahead are you going to plan it?
Not very far.
About what, 3 years or something?
No.
Oh, not that far? Just a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And then adjust after that. That's very good.
So naturally, that stopped me from doing my work today.
Well, yeah, but I mean, one has to look after the future. Because, I mean, the present is already here, so.
Well, I see the mistake in that.
Do you?
I do. Yes.
How did you feel when you were doing that? What, because the mind kept...
Yeah, see, when it had already gotten into my mind... And
yeah, so then give me an example of a thought that would come into your mind after you tried to stop it.
Well, I'd be, eating lunch, and I'd be thinking, yeah, I'd be enjoying myself, and then I'd think, well, when I get home, I better enjoy this now, because when I get home, I won't be...
What?
Eating this well.
You'll be what?
Won't be eating this well.
Right, right.
Little things like that.
Right. So then what did you do with that?
So then I thought that's be here now.
Okay. So what about, because that was now, though. Mm-hmm. That thought was now.
Right.
So why don't you take that thought and say, and furthermore, for all the people right now who aren't eating well, mm-hmm. I want to eat this well. Mm-hmm. If the thought is now, mm-hmm. see how you can use it. It's a lot easier sometimes, rather than policing oneself, trying to get oneself to stop something, just to turn it into the wholesome.
Okay.
You know, if you find yourself thinking, oh yeah, I should enjoy this, because like next week I'll be doing that, then you immediately look at that. You say, oh, yeah, that's true. And right now, there are a lot of people who don't have these kinds of choices of food. And for them, I take this bite and I wish them all to have it. And I will enjoy it and I wish them all to enjoy nourishment. See, so you're taking that thought and you're bringing it back to opening your heart to the present. Actually, you can do that with just about any kind of thought you have, you know.
You were saying earlier about making yourself a stronger or a more aware person, not just for yourself, but for the people around you.
For the benefit of all beings.
I can see where that would...
Yeah.
That's good point, yeah, motivation.
Yeah. And so what did you notice from the casino other than that? Or how about the walking? You guys kept doing the toe walking?
Yes.
And you kept doing that. I didn't tell you. So what you do is I want you to see what the difference is if you put your weight more on your toes or walk more with your toes than with your heels. See what that feels like in your body. Is that sort of what I said? Just play with walking differently, particularly using the toes more. How about the walks, beauty walk and all that? Anything?
Actually, I've kind of slipped back into the one we did last year. Now I walk in beauty. Beauty is before me, beauty is behind me.
Yeah.
It's,
you like it?
I do.
Yeah. It's just one of the best walking meditations I've ever done, too. I can see why. Okay.
So,
anything to report about it?
No.
You just like it.
Just like it, yes. I just feel I've done it for a while. I feel comfortable with it. And
yeah.
It explodes.
Okay. Questions for me? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Edie. Ms. Leanne?
Question.
Yo!
Of the three types, I am assuming hatred, greed, and delusion is the third, correct? I haven't thought of myself in those ways, so if you can give me some insight as far as what you see, so I can be aware of that, that would be fine. Does that make sense?
Well, I think you're actually sort of moving out of delusion. And I'm not sure where you're going to settle. Delusion is also intuitive overview. I was hoping for thunder. Did you see lightning? We might have to go outside. Spoken like a greed type. Hate type. Now we might get hit by lightning. Delusion type. Well, we could sit in the doorway and go, somebody, you know, like, on the other hand, my uncle got hit by lightning once. That was real interesting. Anne, how's your work going? You're not supposed to meditate, see visions, see tunnels. So, like, so congratulations.
Because I would probably be very distracted if I were.
And you're using the casino as a focal, as a sort of a area, and then you're just noting what perceptions and experiences arise, right? So pain comes up, and then what is the pain like? Is it always steady? Does it change? Right, so the pain isn't a steady thing. So at which point is it pain and which point is it not pain? Are you watching that? Is that what you're watching?
Yeah,
so that's the meditation. That's more important than tunnels or anything else. It really is. It really is. It's not as much wowy at a cocktail party or anything, but it's, you know... It's really important. That's the point. Any experiences that come up where the mind dulls out or goes sharper, or have you noticing those things?
Yeah. I'm noticing I'm calmer, like I don't get off track as long. I can still go.
So off track, does that mean thoughts start or what?
Right, following the thought. Going
right.
Long
train. I'm in Mississippi. Yeah. Good. See, what you do is you look at perceptions and experiences and just note them. Yeah, look directly at them and know what they are. Kind of like looking at a smell and knowing what it is as a sense rather than as an idea. And that's what you're doing with this meditation. So that is what you're doing?
Yes.
And anything, any questions or any dreams or... You can continue to draw them. That would be useful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon that those kinds of visual things that you're asking about come up in dream. Any questions for me? Mr. Yan. Is that interesting, changing the time? Changing the time, was that interesting?
Oh, yeah. So, let's see, last time when I talked to you, it was about surrender and surrendering your body and all that stuff. I was trying that, and it was really hard for me actually to be able to, at first, to be able to do 40 minutes or so. I mean, there were times, you know, when I first started, I'd be back on my back, and then the pain would start in my back, and it was all I could do like 15 minutes. And then afterwards I'd be done and I'd just, you know, like, it'd take me 20 minutes to recover. I'd be like shaking and shivering and all this stuff. Although I think a lot of that was my mind and the stories, because when I went back to the breath, then everything kind of calmed down.
Yeah.
And something you mentioned this morning, I knew it was this morning, about, you know, that. I was thinking of the pain kind of as a bad thing.
Right.
Instead of being, you know, this is my pain, I'm feeling it, it's here, it's, you know. And as the day went on, I got kind of longer and longer in being able to stay in whatever position my body put myself in. And the second to last one I did, you know, I was there, and there was all this pain, and I kept thinking, you know, all this pain is just a perception. Don't go for the movie. The movie says, oh, this hurts, so I want to protect myself or run away or something. Go back to the breath. And I was just trying to stay with it, and it was very difficult. So the last one I did, though, you know, the pain started and numbness and all this stuff and whatever, and it didn't seem as bad. And then I got to the pain got stronger and stronger and stronger, and then I got to this point where, you know, all of a sudden my mind became very calm. And my breathing became very calm, and I was just, and the pain is still there, but I was like, oh, huh. You know, and I seemed very calm, and I could perceive the pain, and it was tenuous, though. And I think it was only maybe 5 minutes right at the end, and for each one of these times, I'd get to a point where all of a sudden I just bail out, because it's just too much. And I bailed out, but, you know, for like 5 minutes, I was calm. My mind was calm. My breathing was calm. I was kind of feeling the pain and, you know, heat and, you know, things, you know, like spasms and stuff. And I don't know. After that, I was kind of like, wow. You know, I had to go through all that pain and suffering to realize that this pain and suffering is empty. You know, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I feel like, you know, I've taken another step and trying to do this body witness stuff. Or not do it, right.
Exactly. Watch my breath.
Right. And
don't do it. It's very hard to not do, but don't do. I like the laughing part. I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't make up any mind at all. Just say, oh, it's all very interesting.
Okay.
Don't look for answers. Don't even think that there's a right position or that the body's trying to put you somewhere or anything like that. Don't do it. Just focus on your breath. If you don't like where the body's putting you, correct it 3 times. And if the 3rd time puts you in the same place, say, oh, by the way, I've chosen to be like this. Yeah. That's a sign of healing. Heat is a sign of healing in meditation. Yeah, cool energy, yeah. Cool energy.
Yeah, and
yep.
You know, lasted like a minute or something.
Yep. Sounds like body witness to me. It's quite extraordinary how much the body can heal itself. Okay. I thought it looks all right to me. I don't see. I'm really watching you. It looks all right to me. If you have any doubts or any questions, just come and tell me right away. Okay? It looks like you're doing it fine. I don't see any damaging happening or anything to your energy.
Well, the only question I have is, does all that stuff that I did before I reached the calm state still count?
Oh, everything counts. Everything counts. Nothing counts. Absolutely nothing counts. Then on the other hand, it's not a race.
Yeah.
It's so hard when we're trying for the right answer, isn't it? It's not fair.
Well, trying for the right answer and also knowing where the end is going to be.
Yeah, but you don't know where the end is going to be until you get there. And the end has to be in the present. The end, the end has to be in the present moment. The end, it can't be separate from the present moment. So, you know.
Keep telling me that when it's over, I'll know.
Yeah, so, yeah, just wait. Anything else?
Just one thing. For the 7-minute sit, this morning I did that, and I couldn't run out from the right position and just stayed there. Is that okay? Did you guys have a 7-minute
sit? I think with everybody else here, no. If you're going to do the 7 a.m. sit, you do the sit that everybody else, your body starts witnessing, you just say, excuse me, later, please.
Okay.
Because it's too distracting for everybody else. I start wondering whether they should do that too. No.
But also this morning I was a little bit concerned that you were breathing or not. But the other mornings I haven't been worried about it. But this morning I was.
See what I'm saying? Everybody else gets involved. Don't do it.
Okay.
It's storming. Hooey! Yeah. Mr. Chuck? You got a report for me, my dear?
Yes. I've had a number of phenomena. Yesterday I had
I had intense, like it's just a flow of my heart to my brain center that was perceiving, the perceiver in the eye, the base of the eye. Anyway, that happened, and I had been in this game for over 30 years, and you know, you just go, okay, it's transitory, you'll go. So of course it went. But then I had, I would call them prana rushes in the head, in the top of the head. I've had energy flows in different parts of the body. Today I've had intense tears. I've had intense joy. Lots of pranayama, just prana cleansing of the nadis. Some postures, it's very common. I don't do 10 minutes, I just sit until the flow is over and then come back, you know. And anyway, then I'll just read the Heart Sutra, and then when I'm Heart Sutra, and I'll just start spacing out, and I'll just start rolling out, and I roll into my relationships, for instance, and how basically I've been the source of all the dissatisfactoriness in all my relationships, wherever I got burned. They're all, whether it's sexual or family or friends, there's always this bittersweetness, and it all comes back to me. It's been my, you know, I just got, it's like, whoa, you know, I created the unhappiness that I've experienced in these relationships. And actually, the most interesting thing I experienced, that I've experienced it two or three times, and I'll be sitting watching the casino, and there'll just be an awareness of consciousness, and all of a sudden it's like entering a porn movie. There's this intense sexual energy, and it's like, wow, this is far out. I mean, that's the only way I can describe
it.
And it's just, and male and female, and then I see this huge vagina, and I go like, wow! And then everything just goes flash, and I lose it. And I was thinking, it just repeats itself. So I almost, maybe I'm projecting, but I want it to be my point of conception. But I haven't entered the womb, so I haven't really got to where the conception is. But it's an intensely, strongly erotic experience.
Yeah.
But then there's a, it's like a dream too. It's like popping from a dream.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, this is far out. It's not like anything I've ever experienced. But I mean, it's basically a creation thing. It's beautiful.
What's happening here is that you need to have a little more form to direct that energy properly. Do you understand that? Meaning that don't just space out when the different things are happening.
Yeah.
Set your time and stick to it.
Yeah.
Bring a little more discipline into the sit, and that will give more direction to the mind's using of the energy. You won't be so passive in the experience.
And if, in a circumstance like that, am I to willfully, enter the womb,
No, you're to willfully establish a pattern with your other practices, with, sitting for 10 minutes. If you're going to be working with that casino, then you do it for 10 minutes and you observe perception, observe perceptions and experiences, and you just see them as they are, right? And then when you're reading the Heart Sutra and your mind starts to drift, you bring it back and you observe that is an experience of, a way that a story that you tell yourself, that it's always your fault, or whatever the theme that you seem to be playing is. Whatever it is, I said, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, when you're reading the Heart Sutra, read it faster.
Okay.
And don't try for the meaning, but direct the energy. Use it for directing the energy.
Yeah, okay. The experience of the sexual thing generally occurs when I've done the casino.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm saying overall, you need to tighten up your discipline of sitting, and watch and see what happens from that. A certain kind of passivity in what you're doing. Do you see what I'm saying? Like accepting whatever role comes to you in terms of your movies. Do you see that? From what you said to me?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Also, allowing yourself to be involved with whatever comes when you're doing the casino until that finishes. Rather than setting the time. Having the mind drift with the Heart Sutra. They're all things that say you're losing that this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing. And when somebody is more a twice liberated mind, mentality, both through bliss and insight, then you can't let either one of those be out of balance. You have to work them together. So you're not working one of them. You're sort of letting one of them just kind of drift off. I'm saying, tighten up here. Go.
I have to admit, in the 70s, the big thing was like Swami Muktananda, the Kundalini yoga guys, and it's very intense, but I was always envious of the people that get pranatan, which is where the prana is passed, and you know, then the Kundalini gets, anyway, the nadis would get purified by the pranatan, and I, all these people would have outrageous experiences, dreams, postures, whatever, and I was very slow. I was in the bottom of the class, and anyway, it's just happening now, or it seems to be, but I'll tighten up for sure.
Yeah, don't tighten up anything except your mental states. Is that clear? Like you're sort of like, oh, whatever, mind? Or I must be true, I must be this, mind, you know? The ways you're viewing yourself, holding yourself. Because all the movies that you're playing about your relationships and everything, they're all based on one movie, one theme, aren't they? Does this make sense to you, what I'm saying?
One theme, you mean
yourself. Yeah, the theme of yourself being what? The bittersweet because I wasn't. Is that true? Is that what I heard you say? We're not talking about everybody, Mr. Chuck. We're talking to you. Thank you. So what I'm saying is that, you know, that's like another way of just swooning into a story. And it's not useful. So I don't want you swooning into time. I don't want you swooning into desire. I don't want you swooning into energy. I want you to tighten it up. Because you need to balance that energy with a little form, you know. If you're going to have the kind of energy that you want to direct, you have to have a pipe to send it through. That you want to direct, but that is directing via your... That is your path, and then you have to, you know, not just the water, but the plumbing too. Is that a reasonable description?
It's very good.
Thank you. Okay, so you're all done now. You've all been done. Every one of you has been done. What?
One small thing that I've noticed, because I'm just so happy and my body is actually feeling the best it's felt in a long time.
From the rain?
No, from being here.
I'm confusing.
But because I've always been so busy, sometimes if there has been anger, I haven't been able to deal with it as I've been able to deal with things here. And before I left England, I read a book, but the anger sits in the bones. And so the walking meditations are now more difficult for me because actually my feet, I've got lumps on them and things, and I'm having work done on that and my neck and everything. But today I found another lump. And I don't know if it's just come this week or if I've, because I'm physically more here, it's just that they're just popping up on my bones, you see. And it might be because I was holding the anger. So I just thought that might be helpful to somebody.
If you're angry, don't hold it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean go spew it out on everybody either.
No, but you know.
Let go of the object.
But if I arrive tomorrow and I've got big lumps coming out of my bones,
oh yeah.
It's really
okay.
Spilling out.
We'll put a potato sack over you. You're welcome. What? You didn't thank me for that suggestion?
Thank you.
All right? You all done? Everybody's done. You're all done. You look done to me. So you notice that there's this extremely beautiful gold heart light, and it's just spreading like lightning through the sky. So wherever there is suffering due to ignorance of body, speech, or mind, it's just washed. Somebody you want to pray for, you just pray for them. You think whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings so there's less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings so there's less suffering. Sorry. See how they make that, the pipe when you're doing the kundalini as well, is with devotion. So that holds the mind single-mindedly, you see? Mm-hmm.